And when the gospel is published in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. So many people that are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, as even to a pretense or for personal motives and personal gain, they're still going on anyway and they'll be rewarded, but not as to salvation. It could be that many souls could come to God under your administration of life, or something that you've done in self-denial, maybe something I've done. We might be able to win souls. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, and in that day they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine forth as the brightness of the noonday. That would really be something to outshine the brightness of the noonday, because, you know, you can't even get in many, many millions of miles of the sun because of the heat. And to think that you would be brighter than the noonday sun. So, there are souls that are dying everywhere. The knowledge of the truth is coming forth. And now people are hearing the gospel. And because they're understanding the truth and they're not obeying the truth, that means their soul is dying. And once your soul dies, you can be ever so religious like Cain was. You can go to church. You can do all the things you want to do. And be just as active in the church work as you want to. But your soul is still dead. And you still don't have eternal life and no way to get eternal life. So then what is said about a soul being dead is when you come to the knowledge of the truth. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, then he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the thing that will take the blood off of the seat of atonement will be that people will come to the knowledge of sin. Once they come to the knowledge of sin, then the blood cannot be on the seat of atonement never again. Men are turning the grace of God as to this age of grace into lasciviousness. That is, they're doing their own thing. They're frolicking and taking advantage of this age of grace. And they're coming to the knowledge of sin, but they're not repenting. They're still going on doing the same thing. And this is why a lot of times you see people that are still in the same old rut, still doing the same old thing, whether it be Pentecostal people, Baptist people, Catholic people. They're still in the same old religious rut. The reason is because they've come to a knowledge of truth and they have killed their soul and they don't have any feeling. They're past feeling. The Bible speaks of getting past feeling. And once you get past feeling, you can do anything you want to. You can just gobble up the things of the world. You can have these things in magazines and TV and newspaper and ball games and frolic and eating and drinking and buying and selling and partying and passions and whatever. And it won't bother you a bit. It won't even bother your conscience. You can do it. You can laugh and talk and gossip and backbite and tear your brother down and say all the things that you want to say. And it won't bother you a bit. It won't even affect you in the least. And the reason is because your soul is dead. Your past feeling. You've seared your conscience. The Bible said with a hot iron. It's calloused over and your past feeling. And nothing doesn't bother you. You can go to church and hear the gospel and rejoice in that the rain is on the just and the unjust. You can have just as good a time as anybody else when the water starts being poured out. And still you're dead in your soul. And you still don't have any soul salvation. And you still don't have any feeling as to live right, to talk right, to act right, to be right, to order your life right, or to conform to the right thing, or transformate in your mind, or transform in your mind to the right thing. You'll go back right back to your old way of life just as soon as you get out of the presence of the light, being a reflector. You'll reflect it, and just as soon as you get out of the presence of the light, all the light will go out, and you'll be just like a mirror without any light at all, and you'll go back to your old way of life. Just a routine. Is this some people out here that come with you, brother? Help me, Ron.
Son-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Son-in-law and daughter.
Oh, son-in-law and daughter. All right, let's give these folks a hand. Looks like some little folks is with them too. We want you to know that we really appreciate you coming to Little Bethlehem. Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're here actively engaged in world evangelism. That's our desire, is to evangelize the world, because the Great Commission was go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we struggle to get our literature into every language of the world, or at least every major language of the world. A lot of subsidiary languages that we haven't been able to get into, but we're working on that. So we're trying to do what we can to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I asked my wife today, the last time that our brother was here, we took up an offering for him and he left and I didn't get it to him. And I asked her if she ever mailed it to him. And I don't know whether she did or not. She couldn't tell me. You didn't? Okay, well, that's okay. When we're in service tonight, you'll just have to give him a double portion. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'd like to receive him an offering tonight. And in that he didn't get his last offering, I think that we ought to kind of double up and give him a helping hand. The Bible said they that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar, and he's a minister of the gospel. As a matter of fact, I went and preached for him. I preached for him. Ain't been all that far back. I preached for him on his radio program, and he's always been very kind to me. He's preached for us here. He brought one of the most beautiful sermons here one night that I ever heard concerning the little bee. We tried to talk about some things this morning. We never did get very far. I just kind of took my time and tried to talk with you a little, explain a few things. And I run over from the first chapter of the book of Revelation over to, I guess it was about the 14th chapter, where Jesus comes back on the mount there, and he meets Mount Zion, and he meets the 144,000. Remember now, it was in the seventh chapter that this 144,000 was sealed, remember? And then we said there was a great multitude that was seen in heaven, which was the church, following the Lamb whithersoever they went. And they'd come up out of great tribulation. Now, this great tribulation here is not the tribulation as to the tribulation that is following, because the tribulation that follows in the eighth chapter is the tribulation where the locusts come out and all these other things come out. This is a tribulation that the people are going through now all over the world. There's all kind of tribulation, spiritual problems and spiritual tribulations and natural problems and little children being ravished and little girls being stole from home and boys being stole and murdered and all these tribulations and problems, the beginning of SARS. See, and so, in the seventh chapter, these are sealed. I wish we had maybe two or three days just in succession to go through a few things in Revelation, just to lay them out and just talk about them like a brother would, you know, just one to another, just to have a little discussion. But most of the time, people don't have the patience to do that. And it's getting hard now for the minister to even find the time to do that. People are so hungry and needy everywhere, and they're begging for just a crumb. But let's just consider this just for a little bit. When John asked about these people, he said they'd hunger no more, not thirst no more, and the sun wouldn't light on them no more in any heat, and the Lamb would dwell in their midst and feed them and lead them under the living fountains of waters and wipe all tears from their eyes. And then following the seventh chapter, immediately in the eighth chapter, the seventh seal is open. Remember me saying that this morning? The seventh seal is open. All of the seals is open in the sixth chapter. through the sixth seal in the sixth chapter. 1 through 6 in the sixth chapter. In the seventh chapter, it is the sealing of the 144,000 on earth. John saw these standing on earth. And then he looked into heaven and saw these others before the throne, the great multitude that no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and tongues. But the 144,000, he saw these on earth, and they were being sealed in the forehead. And these that were being sealed were sealed while the four angels was holding back the four winds of the earth. That is to say, like now, those angels are holding back the four winds of the earth. We spoke to you about that, the four seas, we sometimes called them, as capitalism, Catholicism, and on as we named them. As to these things in the earth, we'll say again, Christianism that comes from the East and that salvation is of the Jew, capitalism it comes from the West that has to do with America, and Catholicism it comes from the South that has to do with Rome, and then communism that comes from the North. And these four winds are wrestling over the waters in the days of Daniel, and the waters there are people, and they're trying to get control. It is a doctrine that's trying to get control. So these four winds are going to battle it out. And the angels are holding back these four powers to keep them from clashing with one another until Israel can be sealed. Just like now, these four powers would be clashing with each other right now. They'd be viciously fighting if it wasn't for the fact that God has got these powerful angels holding them back until Israel can fall into place to where she can be sealed as to the 144,000. The terms is used that out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, or a deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Now, when it uses the terms a deliverer shall go forth out of Zion, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved, it is speaking of the sealing of the 144,000. See, Jacob's name being changed from Jacob to Israel, the name of a prince when he prevailed through the night, when he wrestled with the angel, he became the father of this great nation. So then, the whole house of Israel are the sons of Jacob, and they are accounted for as 12,000 to each son, or each tribe. And so then, when 144,000 is sealed, this is referred to as the whole house of Israel. Now, this used to puzzle me quite a bit till I talked to the Lord about it. He made it real clear. So then, the whole house of Israel, which is the sons of Jacob, the 144,000, they are saved because they are sealed. And then, of course, there's others that are the Jews. There are Jews in America. There are Jews still in Israel. There's Jews everywhere. We've got Jews all over America. We've got one brother here that's full-blooded Jew. Brother Richard back here, he's a Christian. And there are the Christian Jews around through Israel and around through New York and the different places. They're Christians just like you're Christians. They're true Jews because they're spiritual Jews. So then, the 144,000 is sealed, and they are sealed at the very time that the church goes out. Notice this now. This is a simultaneous thing. The fourth chapter voice has come up. So John goes up, having to do with the church. While he's up there, he sees in the fifth chapter the Lamb coming, taking the book that's sealed. In the sixth chapter, he sees the Lamb loosening the seals. In the seventh chapter, he sees the 144,000 being sealed so that they can go through these horrible, hideous things that Revelation 8, 9, and 10 will offer as to the punishment of them that dwell on the earth. For in 8, 9, and 10, out of this, of especially 8 and 9, comes forth the locust out of the earth with faces like men and hair like women and sting in their tails and these kind of things. It is in this ninth chapter that you find these things being smitten as to the sun, and the plagues coming from the angels. It's in the eighth chapter that the sun is smitten and the stars fall. In the ninth chapter, you find that these angels are loosed and these hideous freaks, monsters, whatever you would call them, demons, they're loosed to torment men. See, but before this, the 144,000 is sealed because they are in the earth. And the church is now going out of the earth. And if God takes the church out of the earth, then God will have to smite the earth unless he has somebody in the earth to preserve the earth. So he leaves the Jew, and the Jew at this point is not in condition to preserve the earth. So God has to seal them to bring them to the name of Jesus. And then when they are sealed, they are in condition to preserve the earth. When the salt of the earth goes out, which is the church, then the Jews come in and God can continue to bless the earth without destroying it. All right. Otherwise, he would have to destroy it. So you see that just as they are sealed, John sees at the same time the great multitude in heaven. So when the church goes out, the Jews are sealed, and they are in the earth. Now I know a lot of people say, well, the church is going through the tribulation. But see, it says, after this I beheld in the Lord a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. See, this is the thing of salvation. Of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and these were given white robes. And these are with the Lamb, and they are in heaven. So, they are not going through the tribulation. They are in heaven. I have a lot of people, they say, Brother Pike, where's the church going to be during the tribulation period? If it's not going to be here, then where is it going to be? I keep telling you, it's going to be in heaven. Someone would say, well, where's heaven? Well, I keep telling you like I tell my wife. When Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, he appeared in glory. Glory is heaven. Glory is heaven. The Bible said Jesus appeared in glory, and Moses and Elijah was there in glory because they had been translated into glory, just like Enoch had been translated into glory. And here Jesus now was transfigured, standing in glory. So then, where would the church go to? It would go into glory. Where did Elijah go? Where did Moses go? Where did Enoch go? Where is Moses today? Where is Elijah today? Where is Enoch today? They're in glory. It was very obvious that these men appeared in glory as to Moses and Elijah. When Jesus appeared in glory, they appeared in glory. So then where is the church going? To the same place they're at. We go into glory. Because Jesus was the body of the church. We're his members in particular. He appeared in glory. He didn't go from the manger to the cross. Because he had to go from the manger to the cross to get into glory. He went from the manger to glory to show you that you did not have to go to the cross so that you could go from the manger to glory. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all go by the way of the cross." That is, we won't die as to the natural death. But we will all go into glory. We'll all be changed. We all go by the way of the cross as to repentance, as to call on the name of Jesus. But as to our body naturally dying and going into the grave, you don't have to do that. Why do you have to do that? That's why Jesus died. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to do that. Someone would say, "Well, why do we do that then, Brother Pike?" Because the Bible said, "Though you're gods, ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge." You die like men from the lack of knowledge. Someone would say, "Well, I don't see that." Well, then explain to me why Enoch was translated by faith when he received the right knowledge. Well, we could say God is respect to person and he just took Enoch on. And he just loved Enoch better than he did us. So he took Enoch on and he just left us down here. Because we're so wretched and Enoch was so good. But then we confuse the scripture when we do that, because the Bible says there's none good, no, not Enoch. So then we get all confused why we'd take Enoch when Enoch was not good. And he won't take us and that we're not good. The Bible said there's none good but God. How could Enoch be good? Oh, somebody said he was good. Somebody said Job was perfect. He was perfect, all right, because the Bible speaks of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And that blood being on the seat of atonement in our behalf, the Bible said that this goodness was given to us in God before the world ever was. Being the predestinated of God, that he gave us this righteousness in God, and that we're holy even as he is holy, we're good even as he is good. Our goodness and our righteousness be of God. And that we're not foolishly going about like the Jews did to establish our own righteousness. Stumbling at the stumbling stone of offense in that Jesus is our righteousness. But we have accepted Christ Jesus. Someone would say, "Well, now Brother Pike, if it be like that, why did God thus show respect to person and take Enoch into heaven and then didn't take me and you into heaven?" Well, I don't know about you, but he didn't show respect to person with me. He took Enoch into heaven, and then when I came along, he took me into heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. So, we find that God is no respect to person. What is the difference? The difference is that Enoch made the change in his body to the extent as Moses and Elijah, he went into glory. But you and I have not applied this thing to our bodies. Someone would say, "Well, that's because we can't." That's not because we can't. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed." As a matter of fact, he went up into the third heaven and he said, "I don't know whether I changed my body or I didn't change my body. I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I can't really tell." He said, "I never did know about that." So then, when I speak of this, we're speaking of the change of the body. There is a change of the body. Speaking of these people being in heaven here. There is a change of the body that the Bible said will take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the Bible says, of course, over here in the book of Revelation, past chapter 10, in Revelation 10, 11, 11, 15, the last trump sounded, where the Bible said, "And when the last trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Then we'll be caught up to meet him, so shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. Comfort the brethren with these words." So then we have the power to change the body. Someone would say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, what do we do with the scripture where Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name and I will do it. Believe and don't doubt. Decree a thing in your heart. It'll come to pass. Say it, and you'll have whatever you want, whatever you will, whatever you say, if you don't doubt. So see, it's all our doings. We're such little babies in the day we're living in. We profess to be the great church. And we're such little babies. We're so little in God that with all of our efforts, even the greatest of us, is such little bitty babies. And we've not applied ourselves. We've not really come to the things of God. We've not really give ourselves to the things of God, to fellowship God and enjoy the wonderful things of God like we need to. Even in Paul's day, he said, you're not spiritual. I would that you were spiritual. He said, you're just babes in the Lord. All right. So we see there's a great thing for the church. We can just have anything we want. And we're moving on toward the ultimatum of God. On toward the conquering of death. Remember, death has already been conquered. And though it's the last enemy to be destroyed, according to the Bible, it won't be destroyed until it's cast into the lake of fire, which is after the 1,000 years. The righteous dead live before the 1,000 years. The wicked dead doesn't live again till after the 1,000 years. And it's then that death is destroyed. But for you and I, it was destroyed at Calvary. For you and I, it was done away with. And the Bible teaches that we pass from death unto life. And that death hath no power over you and I. You know, falling off of the mountain or sliding off the mountain. I didn't really fall off. I just kind of slid off and the Lord kind of rocked me to sleep and set me down at the bottom of the ravine. And see, there, according to the vision I had, I conquered death. Because in the vision, it was told me in the vision that when I fell, I was going down to my death, to my burial. And before I got to my death in the vision, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and lifted me up. And as it lifted me up, then I came back up, and then I found myself unharmed, and I was told then that I'd overcome death. So see, we have that ability, we have that power to overcome death, to stand in the presence of God, to believe, and God will take care of us. All right, so we go on with a thought or two here, because if we don't, I'll get caught away in that. We see here that this is the church that's in the earth. And the 8th chapter, it shows that the 144,000 is sealed. And these 7 angels begin to sound. 7 trumpets begin to sound. And as they begin to sound, all of these hideous things begin to happen. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. When the first one sounded, it was hail, fire mingled with blood, cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees was burned up. The green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, a great mountain like fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures died. Third part of the ships was destroyed. You can see this has to do with bumming. And the third angel sounded, a great star fell from heaven, burning as a lamp, fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountain of the waters. The name of the star called Wormwood, and the waters became, Wormwood became bitter. Men died of it, and it said the fourth angel sounded. The third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not, but third part, and the night didn't show. And it goes on and on to say that an angel flew through the heavens saying, whoa, 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 3 times to the inhabitants of the earth by the reasons of the voices of the 3 trumpets that are yet to sound. So it said, and the fifth angel sounded, which is the first of the last 3, which is the woes. So I saw a star fell from heaven. Key was given unto him, that is, it must have been an angel, given unto him as to the bottomless pit. This furnace, smoke of a great furnace came out. It darkened the sun and goes on down. Scorpions came out of it, and commanded not to hurt the grass and the green things, and just those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, right there. See, it was said that they were not to hurt those that were sealed in their foreheads. Now, who then was sealed in their foreheads? The 144,000. So you see, it was commanded that they could not hurt the 144,000. So it goes on down to say, the locusts, like horses prepared unto battle, crowns on their heads, faces were the faces of men, and hair like the hair of women, and teeth like lions. And just goes on and goes on to say, the tail of a scorpion, and the king over them of the bottomless pit of Pelion. One war was passed, and then he said the sixth angel sounded, heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound the great river Euphrates. And so then they were loosed. He goes on down to say that he saw the horses, the breastplate of fire, the jacinth, the brimstone. And men were killed by these. By these three was the third part of men killed. Power in their mouth and their tails. Tails were like the serpents. Had heads and they do hurt. The plagues and whatever. But people still worship devils and idols and gold and silver. I'm just running down through this. All right, so then that was the second woe, which meant the sixth trumpet. And all this is coming out of the seventh seal. And then the tenth chapter. And it was the in this sixth sounding that this angel came forth, that stood with one foot on the land, one on the sea, hand raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. And then it's following this statement that the mystery of God should be finished. It's following this statement that in the 11th chapter, that the seventh angel sounded. Now notice that. Seven angels were to sound, and the last angel doesn't sound until he gets way over in 11:15. See, the sixth angel sounded 9:13. Okay, and the next angel, which is the last one, he doesn't sound until 11:15. So that means that he is the third woe. He is the last of the seven angels of the seven trumpets. He is the finishing of the seventh seal as to the sounding of the trumpet, but not the finishing of the seventh seal, in that the seventh seal contains all of the rest of the book of Revelation. So then, in 11:15, when he sounds, it says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And at this time it says that it is time. Notice now it said, and the nations were angry because God had taken himself his great power. The nations were angry. Would you say that right now the nations are angry? How would you judge it right now? Would you say the nations are angry right now? The wrath of God has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, to give reward to the prophets, the saints, and them that fear names, small and great. And then it said, destroy them that destroy the earth, but bums and all these kind of things. Then it said the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now I'm just going to comment just a little bit on this since I talked so much on the other things. If you'll notice that this brings us down to Revelation 12. And I read to you in Revelation 12 that there was war in heaven. When did the war in heaven come? After the sounding of the last trumpet. After the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpeter that was to finish the mysteries of God sounded Revelation 11:15,
And then following that, there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Now, I know that when we say war in heaven, right here is where Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels. And there's no more place found in heaven. But it also has to do, as I said, with Revelation 8, with all the bombing and the Star Wars and all these kind of things are destroying the ships and turning the waters into blood, the bursting of the bombs, the hail, the shrapnel, and all these kind of things. And with what John saw in the final analysis after the following 3 years, where he saw all the cities of the world fall, crumbling to the ground, the great bursting of the bombs and the earthquake, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Those bombs is going to cause so much tremor, and that even the stars is going to fall from heaven, and the earth is going to just break all to pieces. And cities like Atlanta, Georgia, and cities like London and the great places are literally going to crumble to the ground. There isn't going to be anything left of them at all. And yet you can tell people this in the day that we're living in, and they still go along like a bunch of heathens. They run like an ostrich. You know, an ostrich will run and stick his head down in the sand. I remember us going through a safari, and I saw an ostrich run right out in front of the car, stick his head down in the sand just like everything was, you know, just fine, because he couldn't see what was happening. And we've got people today that will listen to the gospel, listen to the voice of God, and hear about all these terrible calamities. And because they don't want you to trouble them or their companion or their family, they'll do like the ostrich. They're so dumb and ignorant that they'll stick their head down the sand, so to speak, and continue on with their foolishness and pay no attention to what you're saying whatsoever to do anything about it. That is a fool. The Bible speaks of a fool. You know, you can warn the fool, but he'll go right on till the dart strikes through the liver. You can warn a wise man and he'll do something about it. All right. So then this great war in heaven took place. But it took place after the woman had given birth to the child. The child was caught up to the throne. Now I'm going to say some things here and you might not agree with them, and it's okay. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to say them anyway. It's something that you can think on. The book of Revelation is really an expose of Calvary. It is the rent veil of Calvary, and it really shows spiritually what was behind the veil of the flesh of Jesus Christ. The rending of the veil brought forth great spiritual understanding. And John is here just a few short years after Calvary, bringing this revelation so that we can understand what the hidden mysteries of God was, so that the church can be translated. So when it speaks of a woman in travail, you're actually seeing Jesus hang on Calvary. I want you to notice this now. This is actually Jesus in travail hanging at Calvary. And the Christ is ready to be born. And just as quick as it's born, it's caught up to the throne to sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. This is denoted that after Calvary, we see Paul caught up to the third heavens. So we see this as the child going up, and we see this great thing that God's doing. Revelation 12 shows us that there's coming a time when 144,000 people is going to be caught up to Mount Zion, and Jesus is going to return to Mount Zion and meet them there to denote the man-child being caught up as to a body. But this really has to do with Calvary. And when it speaks of the child going up to the throne, then it says the dragon was cast out. It goes back to the casting out of Lucifer at Calvary, when Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And this has already happened in the spirit for you and I. And you and I spiritually, inwardly, was translated into the kingdom of God as the man child. And today we are they that dwell in heaven. That's why the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So then, we find that this has to happen in the natural. And when you see the book of Revelation, where John, that was a Jew, speaks of this, it's bringing it to pass that all of these things actually take place in the natural. And there is natural things that happens. So then it speaks of this 144,000 that will go up on the mountain and meet Jesus at Mount Zion. Then it says, and there was war in heaven. War in heaven. Lucifer's cast out. Speaking of the spiritual part now. And then it says, now has come salvation. See, back at Calvary. To you and I. But this is in the earth now. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God. Lucifer has to personify himself and take on an image to bring forth the Antichrist. Now, I want you to see this. The devil was wroth. And he said he went to make war with the remnant of the seed of the woman that keep the testimonies of Jesus Christ. See, the woman that birthed the child was in heaven. Remember, there's a first heaven, a second heaven, a third heaven. And I spoke of this, of you being in heaven. So then, in the travail, this woman was in heaven. She was in heaven. Remember, as long as the blood is on the seed of atonement, there is a heaven. And the devil himself is in heaven. I know you can't get a hold of that. I know you can't digest that, some of you. But the Bible says, Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. I want you to think on that. Sometimes you look at me kind of foreign when I say something about the devil being in heaven. It says a great wonder took place in heaven. Said, and this woman was in heaven. And it said she was in travail. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. The dragon was in heaven. The devil was in heaven. Heaven is the spirit. Lucifer is a fallen angel. He's a spirit. The Bible said the dragon was in heaven. And that's why there's so much problem now. He's the accuser of the brethren. And as long as he's in the spirit, he can accuse the brethren. But when he is cast out of the spirit, then there won't be anything between your spiritual angelic being and God's great Holy Ghost. There won't be anything at all that can accuse your intellectual or your body anymore. So then it said this devil was in heaven, but he was cast out of heaven. So when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, the devil goes out. Now he's already gone out for you and I, because the devil was in our heart. And the Lord cast him out of our body, out of our heart, and sealed us on the inside with the Holy Spirit, and placed the kingdom of heaven within us, and took the kingdom of the world out of us, and put the devil out of us, and the devil can't even touch us. And the Bible said, don't let him reign in your mortal body. Don't even give place to him, not for a moment. And I've given you power over all the powers of Lucifer, even the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, which defeated him. So then these things are happening here to the Jew. But it's a manifestation to show us what took place in the Revelation spiritually. Now, I've been preaching these things to you spiritually because you're going to go out of here. This is the middle of the week I'm reading to you about, where this happened to the Jews and all these kind of things. See, but you're going to go out of here to a change. All right, so then it said the dragon was cast out, and it is when he is cast out in Revelation 12 that immediately in Revelation 13 that he comes up in the midst of the waters, which means the people, and he has this body of the 10 horns and the 7 heads. This is when he takes on his personification and sets up his government among the people. I just wanted to say this. Notice this now. The woman fled. Notice that the dragon was cast out of heaven. The woman fled into the wilderness. And she was there for a time and a half. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now when the serpent cast water out of the mouth to devour her, the earth opened up its mouth to swallow up the flood, which means people. That is to say, when the Antichrist sent people after this woman, there must have been an earthquake, and as it was in the days of Moses, it has opened up and swallowed them up, or a sandstorm got them or something. But anyway, it scared them so bad they didn't follow the woman. And the woman no doubt fled down across Jordan to the city of refuge, and there she stayed from the manslayer until the time that she's purified and goes back to her husband, which brings the millennium after 3.5 years. See, time's time and a half a time. Remember, one time is a year. Times, plural, means more than 1 year, which is 2 years. And a half a time means a half a year. So it means 3.5 years. A time, times, and a half a time. So it means 3.5 years. And then after that, the Lord does away with Antichrist. Then John stood upon the sea, and he saw this beast come up. And I'm not going to go any further here. I will say in Revelation 14 that I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mountain Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. So that means that they were caught up to Zion after they pass through this tribulation period. Having been sealed, they passed through this tribulation period, and Jesus appeared on the mountain, and they were caught up just as this beast comes into view to kill the two prophets that have to lay in the streets, recorded in Revelation 11. Lay in the streets 3 days, and then they're caught up. So then we see that we are living right at the last moment of time. I'm telling you again now, these things that I'm reading to you here has to do with the middle of the week. This goes on over to the boycotting. And that's why I said this morning, as I just took my time and talked with you a little bit to explain some things. I said this morning that the man that is rising up over in the east really has his indignation toward Israel, and that he will not rest until he seeks vengeance against Israel. And that it is the boycott that is rising up to bring about the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke to his apostles about when he sat on the Mount of Olives, telling them that when this come, that would be the end of the world. So then we see that the end of the world now is upon us. The end of the days of the Gentile is here. The days of the gospel is just about at an end. And the gospel has gone into all the world for a witness. And Jesus said when that happens, the end would come. Through the telstar, through satellite, through all these other things, the gospel has gone around the world. Through the translations of all kinds of languages and people going into the foreign fields, the gospel has gone into all the world. And the end is at hand. So then, knowing that the end of the world is here, the Bible said, what manner of person ought we to be? Looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the Lord. Being holy in all holy conversation and deed. Not doing wrong, but keeping ourselves every day. Searching ourselves every moment. And examining ourselves with a regularity to see if we're anchored in the faith of the Word of God. So we see the end of the world is here. And that crisis that's over there, I'll make mention of it again tonight. Every year, with a regularity according to the paper. This man goes up to the capital of the old city of Babylon, and there he has a festival. He prints up a new gold coin, putting his face or head on one side of it, and Nebuchadnezzar II on the other side, and that Nebuchadnezzar II is his admiration as to being like him. Which brings back the old thing of the Antichrist, the head of gold, and those things as to Daniel's image that was smitten and that went on down from the gold to the silver to the brass to the iron, the clay, as to the 10 toes, the end of the world, and the little stone that was hewed out of the mountain that came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world when it smote the image in the feet. And when they tried to mix clay and iron together, and it wouldn't mix. And right now they're trying to do that because Russia has to do with the clay and America has to do with the iron, in that America has gone Catholic and Catholicism has to do with the iron. And they're trying to come together and they'll never mix. So then the last of this thing was the toes. And now there's one more thing to come, and that is the Bible said the mysteries of God being finished, Jesus coming on the scene, that little stone hewed out of the mountain, not with hands, bringing His kingdom into the world, and there being no end to the increase of His kingdom, and Him smiting all the kingdoms of the world in Revelation 19, as He comes back on the white horse and we come back with Him to smite the kingdoms of this earth, in that all of the kings of the earth will gather together in a boycott to bring about what Daniel said would be the gathering in around Israel. And we will fight till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle to establish His kingdom in the sounding of this last trumpet, as to the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, that He may reign forever and forever. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate our sisters that come in here. Do we know these sisters here? Can you talk a little louder? Okay, have you been here with us before? All right. From Dayton, Ohio. Are you relative to somebody here? All right. You're the one who called my Danny. All right. Why come you been so long getting here? Okay, you're in walking distance, so we can have somebody come knock on your door and find out why you ain't at church. Let's give the Lord a hand and these people a hand if you appreciate Him coming and being with us. All right, let's sing together, can we? I appreciate you coming out tonight to be with us. Appreciate our beloved brother, Brother Nix, and his son-in-law and daughter, and the little ones. They look like they're precious little things. They get kind of weary in church, but they do all right. You just have to bear with them. Because they do all right. It's kind of hard for them little folks to have to raise these parents in the day we're living in. Makes it hard on them, and we just have to bear with them. All right, let's sing together, can I? I love Him. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book
it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine.
One more time.
Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine.
Let's sing this little chorus. While we're singing this little chorus, the altars are open. Give me another key, friends. Weep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Far I've anchored my soul in God's haven. And I'll sail the wild sea no more. For the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep. But in Jesus, I am safe. Evermore, I need thee, Lord. How I need thee. Every hour, I need thee, and I for he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to please your call on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice.
and don't turn him away. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. We sing this little chorus this morning, Brother Taylor. It's called Sweeter Each Day.
Sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. God's love growing sweeter. And hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day.
Can you sing that with me?
Sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. This love, it grows sweeter, grow long life's way. All through the garden, I can hear my Master say, my love.
Our hands up to heaven, close our eyes together, and sing this little chorus.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and time shall be no more.
Sing with me now.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. The way
stand. Sing with me one more time now. Step right at the restroom. Tell Jim to come.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Let us
Let's give him a wave off.
And we will praise him.
Don't you love to praise the Lord? Don't you just love to praise your Savior? He's your master. You're going to dwell with him forever. He hath given you eternal life. You're his precious, precious darling children, heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're very dear to him. He loves you with all of his heart. He gave his blood for you. Hallelujah. One more time together. Sing with me now.
And God will praise my reason.
Can you just lift up your hands? Close your eyes with me.